good. Welcome to another episode of Diaspora United. I'm Andre Carlisle, and I'm here, of course, with Courtney Stith. Courtney, how are you aside from the knee pain?
I was like, that's my main thing. I'm just, my knee is cranky because I had surgery, but when y'all hear this, a little bit more than a week ago, and it was rough, to say the least. This is my second knee surgery on my left side for a meniscus tear that I think I've had for almost a full year, if I'm being honest. I'm 95% sure I tore my meniscus in January and just didn't do anything about it.
You just famuist it? You just played through?
I wasn't necessarily playing through because it wasn't like I was really working out. I was just so busy with work that I was like, I'm not really active. So it's not like this is causing me a lot of pain. Like, it's not like it's like impeding my life right now. But the way healthcare works and healthcare costs go up basically every year, I was like, I got to get this done by the end of the year. So did it week before Christmas and kind of wish I did it earlier because I was like, being able to like walk around on my own volition is really nice to have, especially around the holidays. And instead, I've just been sitting and been like, someone please bring me food. Can someone go out to my car and get something? Can someone please bring me like ice with food? That's been a lot of things. Even though I will say in the past like 48 hours, probably past like 36 hours, I've started walking a bit better. So it doesn't look bad. Also, they gave me a cane.
Oh.
Instead of crutches, they gave me a cane.
Nice.
And I was, no, I look like I'm 87 years
I'm
old.
I'm here for it. I'm sorry.
The cane is absolutely terrible. I was like, oh my God, this is literally so bad. Like, you guys couldn't give me crutches, please? I was like, also with crutches, you can like, if you've used crutches before, you can crutch somewhere quickly.
Yeah.
With a cane, you can't cane somewhere quickly.
You're still just like, you gotta move slow with the cane, which is what makes it even better.
I know, and I'm tired of it because it takes me twice as long to do basic tasks. Getting in the shower, normal 10-minute shower takes at least 25 minutes. And it falls me. Tried washing my hair, worst mistake. I literally sat down in the shower. I brought in a stool, and I was like, I have to sit.
Oh, see, that's smart. I appreciate it. Innovation. Got to do what you got to do.
That's rough.
To our non-US listeners, you just got a glimpse at the completely deranged and out of control healthcare system that we have here.
It's atrocious, and I despise it.
It's really, really bad.
Don't even ask me how much it cost.
I'm not going to ask, but I could guess, and my guess would probably still be too low. So yes,
it's really rough. Yeah. Despite having literally the best health insurance my job offers, it's quite rough. So 0 out of 10 would not recommend unless you have to, and then like get your body fixed.
Well, sorry about that, but, you know, hopefully, you know, walking around with a torn meniscus for a year probably isn't great, so, you know, hopefully it's on the mend.
Going to Australia with a torn meniscus, also not ideal.
Yeah, that. Which, you know, maybe sneak peek about the rest of the episode. We've got no review right now because, you know what, we don't chastise y'all often, but we don't have too many new ones. I understand it's the holidays, folks are busy, that's fine. But if you want to drop a 5-star review and a little word, something, a little text, something, a little message, a little note, include a dad joke, please, we appreciate it. But we're
or
not
a middle name
beg.
For Andre.
Yeah, no, never mind. In this episode, really, really simple. This is New Year's resolutions, wishes, big dreams. We each came up with a resolution, a wish, and a big dream. I said we each. It's just us. It's just us, me and Courtney. That's it. But we each came up with something to talk about for 2024 as we head into 2024. Just a fake year. Just a fake sounding year. I don't know what it is, but ever since like 2020, every single year sounded fake. And 2024 is like the fakest year yet. Like this should not exist, but it's here, it's coming, and we're going to talk about it. So Courtney, anything before we get started?
Nope.
Let's do it. Okay, so I know I promised y'all resolutions, but we have to do this first. Before we look ahead, we must look back. 2023 was an outrageous year for the podcast, for us personally. And I just wanted to take a minute to talk about that, you know, how thankful we are, how thankful that, you know, I am individually as a person, but also us, I know, as a podcast for what happened this year. A whirlwind trip halfway across the world came out of absolutely nowhere.
A tweet. Shout out to Morgan.
Are wild. Yes. Shout out to Morgan. Shout out to everybody who donated. If you don't know and are just listening, a GoFundMe popped up out of nowhere and got so much traction that we were able to go to the World Cup along with Shea Butter FC. And I was based in New Zealand. Courtney was based in Australia. We went to a bunch of games. It was outrageous. It still doesn't feel real. Like, it doesn't feel like I actually did that, but I did. I have the pictures mm-hmm. to prove it. But yeah, it was outrageous. And I don't even know really. I've struggled on this podcast before with trying to figure out what exactly to say about it. It just still overwhelms me that kind of support came out. I very much still will say, I wish y'all didn't have to do that. It would have been nice for yes. somebody else, something yeah. the way this is supposed to work. But y'all did it. Y'all appreciate the coverage. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm just like beyond grateful for I'll never forget 2023 and what happened. It was incredible, just incredible, even despite the U.S. Women's National Team being trash. It's fine. We were ready for it.
we were ready for it. I can't lie. I was not ready for the way that it happened. Only fair. It's because I felt I just like was gutted. Like, it's one thing to get like outplayed and like across 90 minutes and you lose 1-0, 2-0, 3-0. Losing to an unserious Sweden team by like a millimeter. I was like, that hurt my heart.
Listen, last time I tweeted this, Sweden Twitter got real mad at me, but listen, Nair saved it. I don't care what y'all say.
Literally, like, that hurt my heart. no, but deeply appreciative of just the general support we've gotten this year. Like, not only the GoFundMe, like, which was a whirlwind where we're like, let's try $5,000. And then it was like $10,000. $15,000, and we raised nearly 30 grand in what, like less than 48 hours?
Yeah, it was wild.
I was absolutely baffled and could not believe it. I was actually, it was so funny during that time, like when the GoFundMe went up, I was actually on a call. Like, I was on basically a conference call, because it wasn't like serious business, but like a playful call with Ebony Silves and Alex, who ended up going. And like by the end, like I was literally in tears because I just could not believe it, of all these people fundraising money for us. Then like other GoFundMes happened off of that for like our, you know, our friends, Gal Pals, like, yeah. And the WOSO show. Like, I absolutely can't believe it. Like, also at that time, sometimes being a little menace on the internet works, where I remember Spotify put out their list for best women's soccer podcasts for the Women's World Cup. And it was like Alexi Lalas and other Ugh. Stupid people. Ugh. And I called them out being like, are you kidding me? And then all of a sudden we got on there and I was like, that was like not my purpose in this. But yeah, I just can't believe it. We also had Crystal Dunn on the show. Shout out to Christina, my other goat. Right? I tweeted Morgan, my goat. Christina's my other goat, where cannot believe that happened.
For the 100th episode, we got to talk to Crystal Dunn.
Crystal Alicia Dunn Supriye. I cannot believe
ridiculous.
It.
Ridiculous.
I mean, that interview was also great. We learned so many stories that I don't think, if you haven't listened to that episode, go listen to it, because yeah. we learned so many stories about Crystal as a player. Also Crystal as a person. Like, I just, yeah. I absolutely can't believe it. Like, I just,
she
when it comes to this
her
podcast,
lucky charms.
She did.
That was our Twitter display name for months.
For months. it did happen. Yeah, I just can't believe it. I mean, now what, podcast 126?
Wild.
Absolutely wild. The support, like, I mean, we were tweeting about Spotify Wrapped, and it was, like, crazy to see, like, people, the amount that people listen to us, and being like, are you sure you want to listen to me for over 1,000 minutes this year? Like, are you all right? Or being, like, right next to huge podcasts in people's queues. Yeah. Like, for a few people, we were, like, either above or right behind Snacks, which is like, I mean, it's just absolutely baffling to me. So I'm just,
rest in peace to Snacks.
Rest in peace. But yeah, I'm just rest like stop. But yeah, the amount, I'm just so appreciative of like all the support we've had this year. Like, I absolutely can't believe it, especially when it comes to the World Cup stuff and Crystal Dunn. Like, I just cannot believe that. Like, absolutely wild.
Yeah, it's a lot to look back on and think. It's funny too, because I think the way I kind of like the podcasting thing works is you're always kind of looking to the next episode to reflect on what happened or maybe a big story or whatever. So you're always like doing the next thing. And this kind of how I am normally. Like I, even when I wrote, I was just kind of like, I'm hit this moment and then move on. You know, you don't really have much time, especially in like the way, like, not to get all like in a society, but like the way that like the landscape works is so quick. News happens all the time. There's always something else to talk about, always something else to do. And I just rarely ever take the time to step back and be like, yo, that really happened. Like, this is crazy. And this, well, I wanted to do this on the podcast because it's just like, I'm forced to do it right now. And I know it's like introspective just because the calendar happens to be the 12th month and we're going to start over, whatever. But it's still wild to me to think about it and to have that, like, all Crystal Dunn going to New Zealand, you going to Australia, like our podcast hitting 100 episodes. This thing started from a DM. Like we never talked.
But also like,
our, this is, like, it's wild.
Like, but also like our personal accomplishments too. Like you were writing for Gaming Society. For some wild reason, The Athletic decided to have
rest
me be.
Rest power to Gaming Society. Just rest in peace. I'll say yeah, they don't get your power. Sorry.
Sorry to bring up an old wound, but like.
Give me my money.
Period. Okay. Yeah. Run on it. Run Andre his money right now.
Yeah.
That is ridiculous. But like, yeah, just like think on the personal, like when it comes to like things that have spun off from the podcast. I'm not talking about other personal stuff because my personal year was quite rough. But like writing for outlets, like starting outlets, like thinking about like, I mean, Vice taking away all the funding, the District Press coming out, like
yeah.
Also Hey Spirits. For some silly reason, The Athletic hired me for a few weeks, which I was that. Like, how and why? Objectively, even though, I don't know, I think about the articles Tamara writes, and I was like, Tamara and I are off. I think we have started sharing one brain sometimes. Sometimes we're one brain. But also, I just think, like, it's not only just our, like, the growth of the podcasting that have spun off for the podcast, but also think of like all the other Black outlets and Black people working in media and around media who have like reached new heights, like thinking about Shea Butter FC, like, and like all, you know, all the FTC fam and 2 Cents fam. And it's just like, it's just so baffling to me. Like thinking like at times for the World Cup, like, you know, all of our tweets going off, like about like Nubia's tweets going off, you know, Tamara going and writing for The Athletic, Kudzi going and writing for The Athletic, Georgia getting sent to a World Cup. Like,
yeah,
it's sometimes it's kind of hard to reflect in the moment, but looking back, it's like, obviously we are happy that like our podcast grew and we reached new heights, but I'm also thrilled that other people have reached new heights too. And the one thing, not to immediately transition us to 2024 resolutions, but like my resolution for soccer media is like the funding coming and like coming properly. And so we're able to continue reaching new heights. Like it's an Olympic year.
Yeah.
Somehow. I thought we were just living in 2021, that Olympics, but like it is literally an Olympic year. And so I hope that funding keeps coming and we all continue to grow to new heights.
Yeah, it's wild to think about. I mean, what, a year and a half, maybe a little bit longer than that. None of that existed, you know, and that's kind of has been the whole point of this. Like we looked around along with Shea Butter FC and was like, hey, there's room here. We see what this sport is becoming in this country. We see exactly what needs to happen. We see who's missing, whose voices aren't heard. And we just try to fill a gap. That's it. So, and again, there's no competition. It's like there's space for all of us, which is how we always approach it. Like, I know that like old school journalism, and I even hear some silly stories from journalists that have been like covering soccer for a while and how like they can be so competitive. And it ain't about that. Like, I'm going to celebrate Shea Butter FC. I'm going to celebrate Tamara and her work. You know, we're going to celebrate FTC and everything they do. That's what it is. It's a culture. And that's an important piece of this entire thing. And it's just great to be part of that. So yeah, I love that you said that. And also would also be nice if we could stop relying on crowdfunding, because y'all see there's a want, there's a need, there's a desire for this. And so I don't know who I'm talking to right now, but if you're listening, you pull some strings at the end of these brands or outlets, y'all know how to reach us. Okay, that's it. Anything else before we move on to 2024?
I also just want to give some shouts to, I also forgot to include 50 plus donor who is constantly keeping us abreast to everything happening in the Frauen-Bundesliga and constantly shouting about Nicole Enyomi, which I feel like all of us need to consistently shout about. But yeah, it's just, you know, it's we lift as we climb, and that's the way it's always been. And it's the way it's going to continue to be.
Facts, facts, facts. All right, let's do it. Resolutions, wishes, dreams. So we broke this down a little bit into resolutions, wishes, big dreams. You know, we didn't really know what to do because, you know, I've done podcast episodes or listened to podcast episodes where they just do like their resolutions, and that's fun. But I felt like I can't really like resolve many things on our own. And even my resolution isn't really something that I can do anything about, but very, very much like cheer loudly and passionately, which is what I plan on doing. But yeah, I just thought that there were like, wanted to hit three things from each of us in this episode. So I'm gonna start off with my resolution. My resolution is not for me. It's really for NWSL owners. I think in listening to other podcasts like Counterpressed and some others from across the pond, as they terribly consistently say, there seems to not be an understanding yet of how much money is coming into the NWSL from an ownership perspective. And even though, you know, some clubs in Europe have big, like massive parents, like, you know, Chelsea, Bayern Munich, Barcelona, you know, they have some big.
You gotta stop
big,
right there. They gotta pull levers.
Yeah, never
There's
mind.
Some
Sorry, about
going on over there in Barcelona.
What did they have? They had a fly to Dallas, 13-hour flight to Dallas to play a game, and then fly back. It's like, yeah, for $5 million. Like y'all are doing broke shit.
Everyone else, though, many other teams.
Yes, many just, other big clubs.
We are just confusion about what's going on with Barcelona.
Yes,
because they could pay players a lot, and they're just like, pull the lever, Kronk.
Yeah. Yeah, they're ridiculous. But yeah, so but when it comes to like the budgets for the women's teams, they're actually quite competitive with a lot of owners that are around in the NWSL right now. And I would even say that some NWSL owners are committing a lot more money overall. Like I'll say Michelle Kang is probably putting forth a lot more money than some big European clubs' budgets. I don't know exactly the dollar amount, but I'm just telling folks, like, when you see big moves from coaches or players or whatever coming over, that's what's happening. It's not strictly money, but that is something in terms of being able to compete. However, my resolution for this is I want NWSL owners, new ones, ones on the way, ones to come in the future, to understand the role, two things really. The role of community is super important. You can't shit on your community. Just because you have the money and you're making the decisions now doesn't mean that you get to just, like, you're disconnected from the community. It's not a transactional relationship. I know it feels like it, and this is a very much an American sports thing. Like, I own the thing. I allow you to come into my stadium, which I use taxpayer money for, and you give me more money because the team provides you with whatever you need for that week or season or whatever. That's not the case in like soccer broadly. That's a very American-centric thought process about how sports work, how organized sports work, top-tier professional sports work. That's not how soccer works around the rest of the world. And that community exists here. It's just not elevated. And I need it to be elevated from NWSL owners because it is so important. You can't just have a transactional relationship with your supporters. You have to get to know the supporters' groups. They have to be involved in decisions. Not every decision, but they have to be involved. The people that work for your club are very important to keep those people close because they are part of the community. They're going to hear about it. If something bad happens to one of those people, that's going to affect the overall perspective and outlook of your club. And then my second thing is, with the money, you know, what is the Uncle Ben quote from Spider-Man? With great power comes great responsibility. Right. That's what happens. And God knows, corny, but this is what I just watched Across
the
Spider-Verse
like, yesterday. You were like Uncle Ben. And I was like,
oh, you thought the rice
up, I was like, he about to bring up some rice?
You know what? They done stole so many quotes from us anyway. I'm going to just say Uncle Ben, the rice dude, said that first. It's fine. I on the sporting side, though, it's also important to make smart decisions, to have a direction, and to not be kind of willy-nilly with your money. Because maybe like, what, 2 or 3 years ago, you could have just came in with a bunch of money and bought everything. That's not the way to really go now. Like, now you need to actually invest in not only infrastructure, but a direction for your club. How do you want them to play? Recruiting, scouting, all of that. You have to be, has to be a cohesive vision. You can't just find and pick and choose and say, okay, what's the best coach? Okay, what's the best sporting director? Okay, what's the best, you know, sports and nutrition guy? Does it sound like I'm talking about anybody? But I'm just saying, like, that's what you have to do now. If you've never been in sports, okay, understood, but get somebody who can help you with that, because it's not just throwing money at a problem. You have to do more than that. So my resolution is for NWSL owners, as you come in with the money, to figure your shit out.
My resolution is, I want expanded squad sizes for the NWSL.
Ooh, please.
That's my resolution for the league, because we have seen, especially over the last 2 years, with more teams coming into the league, you know, the Challenge Cup's persisting. Squads need to be expanded, like, full stop. They need to be expanded. You know, obviously the NWSL is in a huge period of growth. We're seeing a lot of money come into the league, which coming into each team, which I think is really, is just generally really important. But with that, the NWSL is extremely far behind several of the other teams, especially outside of the U.S. Thinking teams in Europe, thinking teams in Mexico, teams down in South America, with like squad sizes, but also academies. And I know I'm not going to immediately put a resolution for academies, because it's like, you need, besides needing funding for it, like, you also need people who have had experience doing it, make it, like, there's a whole bunch of other things with that. But I think the first step that the NWSL needs to do, and I don't know if there's, maybe they could do like a small addendum in the CBA for squad size, but I really do think that the squad sizes need to be expanded. Or even at least, like, if they don't want to expand the squad size, like, they can figure something out of, maybe they'll have, like, I don't want to call it like a training squad, but we've seen over this past season, there have been times where several teams have had huge injury crises. Like, besides KC, like, Gotham always had like 8 people injured. If I'm being honest, like, if you look at it, they always had people injured. There are times where Portland had people injured. Chicago, I mean, it affects every single team. And I think as more teams come into the league, as travel expands into the league, now that you have 2 teams coming in out west, those are going to be difficult for basically everyone except for maybe KC and Louisville, and maybe Chicago, because they're kind of, you know, closer to the center of the country. So, you know, either 3 hours west or 3 hours east. But like the numbers of the squads need to get bigger. They need to expand if you want the league to stay competitive. If you want players to stay healthy, also. To me, my number one thing for the league is you have to expand the size of each squad.
Yeah, no, I'm completely co-sign that. Like, especially, like I said, if money's coming into the league, it's not a financial consideration anymore. So you can loosen that restriction. And I'm kind of with you. I still would like to see academies grow like now. I don't know if teams need to start pairing with a USL club or finding a different way to do something academy based, but you do need an academy, and this would also help, you know, provide a path where we could legitimately abolish the draft.
Okay. Well, but I think of that as like, let's say like a 10 year, I mean, like a 10 year plan or something, but like,
that's also my 10 month plan. Sorry.
Well, but I also think about, for example, a team like Barcelona or a team like Lyon, for example, actually I feel like both of those squads have a ridiculous amount of players constantly, but you know, if they find a way to revamp the Challenge Cup, maybe like make it into more of a, you know, League Cup, FA Cup type thing, where there are times where, like, you can call up then your academy players and have, like, and, you know, be able to rotate your roster. And so that's kind of all a part of it. But I do think for the first thing is expanding those roster sizes. Because also, like, there are times I feel like at the NWSL where it's brutal. Like, not even the amount they're traveling, but, like, players getting cut, things like that. Because, you know, you have to find, you know, it's 26 players. And so I think max is 26, but I think if, you know, that, if the roster sizes can be expanded, I don't know, maybe to 30. I don't know. I literally just threw out a number. I think it'll benefit the teams, not only in the immediate, but also in the long run.
Yeah, no, definitely believe that and co-sign. Okay, let's move on to our wishes, our big wishes for 2024. I'm sorry, y'all, to anybody who is not a Chelsea fan. Apologies in advance. But Emma Hayes is leaving. I'm not terribly upset about that because of where she's going. So I'm very excited about that. Her U.S. Women's National Team tenure to kick off for real, for real. But I wanted to kick off with a Champions League trophy. That is my big wish for 2024. I know there are plenty of other things that I probably could and should wish for that were bigger. Don't worry, I have big dream left, so I've got another opportunity. But I just think that given the work that Emma Hayes has put in, over a decade's worth of work building Chelsea into what Chelsea is right now, all the players that have been recruited, that have come through, all the growth of Chelsea as they've kind of entered the European stage, got rude awakenings on the European stage, had to kind of figure out how to do it, winning so many titles in a row, league titles in a row, so many trophies domestically. I just want, it would just be perfect in a very fairy tale-ish way, which I know we don't really get those in the real world, but I don't care. This is my wish. I just want to see her sign off with a Champions League trophy. It's the thing that she's wanted. She's talked about it many, many times. She's wanted it. This is a squad when fully healthy, which also means part of this is, Kat, please come back. But part of this is very much just, this squad was assembled to do this, to perform in those late rounds of the Champions League. I'm hoping they can stay healthy. I'm hoping they get a chance to do so, and I'm hoping they do it, because it would be the most perfect way for Emma Hayes to sign off, and a gift for her to just say, like, she deserves it. You know, I would actually, not that I would hate it, like, if Chelsea ends up winning the Champions League in, like, a season or two, I still feel like Emma Hayes did that, but still, I think, for me, she just deserves that recognition, and I want her to have that. So yes, it is my wish for 2024.
I too want it, just for personal reasons.
Yes.
Like, it'd be great. It'd be great if Emma gets it, but also I want it for personal reasons. I also need for, I almost put Kat in one of these categories, but
yeah,
I'm optimistic because I really trust Chelsea's medical team, especially on the women's side, to get her back and healthy in the ways that should happen. So that's what I really want. My wish is I want the bags to go up. I want everyone everywhere.
Yes.
In every single league. I want these players to get paid. No more $60,000 salaries a year.
Or like, much less, yeah.
Like, or less. Like, you can't expect, like, especially for teams that have men's sides, where you're spending 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, $100 million, pounds, euros on a player. You can't tell me that players make in a week, what some men's players make in a week, what some women's players make in a year. Like, all the bags got to go up. And, I mean, including with that, I want all the NWSL bags to go up. I mean, we've talked about all this money coming into the league. I think the number one thing is player salaries got to go up. And also, it's like, and I think this is one thing that, like, people don't get, like, business owners, and not just talking about sports, but, like, also talking about, like, general life too. When people have money and they're not worried about when their next meal is going to come from, how they're going to get gas, if they're going to be able to pay their rent or their light bill or something like that, they're better at their jobs where you're not stressed out about it. Like, the quality of the league, when these salaries go up, as they should, the quality of the league is just going to continue getting better. Like, it's so silly to me, the salaries that some of these players are making, or the fact that they have to, you know, do small training sessions on the side or become a coach or something like that. And it's like, if you just want to do that out of the goodness of your heart, because you want to find a way to give back to the community, that's great. But it's a completely different thing if you're doing that to make your ends meet. Like, that's, it's ridiculous. I'm tired of it. It is NWSL 1.0. It is very clear we are moving into NWSL 2.0. Like, you got, like, all the salaries got to go up. Like,
yeah,
give them the bag. I want everyone to have 15 pairs of Air Force Ones. Like, or get whatever the new coolest shoe release is. Like, I want that for everyone. Like, all the bags got to go up. Not just for the big stars, but for everyone. Raise the floor and keep growing the ceiling.
Yeah, there it is. That's perfectly put. I was going to say about 900 words to say what you just said. Raise the floor, keep raising the ceiling. You ready to move on to big dreams?
Let's do it.
All right. Big dream. Mine should be pretty simple. If people have followed me for a little while, you know that my big dream has been
this podcast. Yeah,
that's true. Yes. I mean, mine could be many things, though, as I say that, like a boss, the draft, you know, all of that business. Like, I could do all of that. But right now, I'm just going to say, I want, I need, I crave, I must have a Club World Cup on the women's side. Again, the schedules are tough. Don't know how it's going to work out. People get paid to figure these things out. Listen, whenever you wait for a FIFA one another competition, they just poof it out of thin air anyway. It'd be very easy to do the same thing. What needs to happen is just get together. They need to have, it doesn't even have to be every year. It can be every other year. It can be whatever. It can be something, but it needs to be a Club World Cup. It can be a month-long competition, whatever. There can be qualifying in each country, and then you do, like, you get together maybe for 2 weeks and you do, like, the knockout rounds and the championship sometime. Whatever. I don't care. I just need to see it. Because, as I said before, and yes, I understand that the conversations and arguments that get in underway when you're comparing, like, European teams to, like, North American teams, there's all kinds of South American teams. Like, there's all kinds of arguments that happen out there, and people have a lot to say. It, like, sparks the biggest debates. I ain't gonna get into all that. Y'all know how I feel. I think that styles are fun when you see styles mesh together. Sometimes a team's able to control possession like they do in the European style way. Other teams don't, but also don't sleep on the tactical variety that is also happening in the NWSL. Look at the way Gotham play and tell me that wouldn't be successful in Europe, right? So I'm just saying, like, what I want to see happen is for a number of reasons. One, because it just make a shit ton of money and it'd be fun as hell for us to follow. And I do think that you could really turn this into like a competition that has no parallel on the men's side. I know they have a Club World Cup on the men's side. Nobody really gives a shit about it. Unless you win it, you don't really give a shit about it. I saw some games, Manchester City was playing. And I think the game was only on FIFA Plus here in the States. Like, nobody really cares that much about this competition. I'm telling you, this would be massive on the women's side if we had a Club World Cup. I want to see it. Start planning for it. Let's announce it in 2024. It is my big dream. Courtney, yours.
I too want a Club World Cup. I feel like you shout about it every few days. And I'm like, I really think we deserve to have that. My big dream, kind of connecting us all the way back to what we were talking about at the top of this episode, I want media funding. Like, not for us. Well, I mean, yes, for us. But, like, I... media in this country, not just for sports, has been systematically defunded over the last, honestly, two decades. Like, going back to, like, right before the 2008 recession. And for sports, and like the one saving grace for thinking about local, just come with me on this journey as I quickly jump into my media studies bag that I used to study when I was in college. But the one, like, a big saving grace for a lot of like local newspapers is actually sports coverage. Like, people love sports and they want to seeing what people are talking about with sports. And it literally goes from like grassroots high school all the way up to the professional game. Like, across sports have been, like, at times have been saving grace thinking for a lot of local newspapers. I know we've had startups here and there, some that we love, some that we don't, that have revolutionized sports coverage, but at the end of the day, we still see these places having layoffs or not being able to, like, turn a profit in the way that venture capitalists want to turn a profit. Look, my big dream is for venture capital to leave. Get out of news, but that's maybe a long conversation for another time.
That's a massive dream. Go away.
But at least right now, like, my big dream is for media funding to come back, not only to fund women's soccer coverage, which is so needed across the board, and people aren't getting paid, like, you know, $25 to write an article or doing stuff for free. Like, I want funding across the board for everyone. I want women's soccer coverage in every major newspaper in the United States. Any market that has an NWSL team, or even, like, you know, big college teams. I want every single one of them to have, like, women's soccer coverage, but also just greater sports coverage in general. I really just want media funding to come in and really, like, we're talking about players getting paid. I want journalists and media folks to get paid too. A lot of us have other jobs or doing other stuff, like, you know, covering soccer is our passion that we're not getting paid for. Honestly,
paying to do it.
Or paying to do it, actively losing money. Look, think about end of ESL 1.0, right? Getting no money and doing it because you love the sport. Like, I want that to come for us too, and not just having the big places that have big, like, shiny dollars and big, shiny founders getting all that money. Like, I want it to go across the board. I want it to go to places that have been covering the game for a really long time and people who have been covering the game for a really long time. And so they don't have to have it.
Understand the community, things that already exist and people are doing, instead of them trying to recreate it because they're now the names in the space with the money.
Right, exactly. And so my big dream for 2024 is I want the bag for media too.
I was talking about this with somebody, and I can't remember who, but it's like that whole venture capitalist thing. Like, the problem with where we are in this late stage capitalism that is just destroying everything is that not everything is meant to be a $100 million company. You know, like that's not the purpose of journalism. That's not the purpose of media coverage. That's not the purpose of sports coverage. If you happen to make a little money, that's great. Congratulations. But it's really there as a service. You know, it's there to tell the stories of the what's around the players, what's around the teams, what's around everything. It's there to tell those stories, to be that outlet for people in between games, after games, during games. You know, it's an important to the ecosystem of the whole thing. And it's very frustrating that just because it has to be like, it's, you don't see that initial profit, you know, like that they all want to see. And so then they just gut it and find and slash jobs and slash this and slash that and start and slash coverage and now use AI. Shout out to Sports Illustrated, which, y'all, listen, Sports Illustrated used to be something. Like, legit.
Yo, people used to like, they used to be the
GOATs. Right? They used to be the GOAT. The best sports writing in the country. People would pay for it. Magazines delivered to in the mailbox. Like, that's old school, yes. But, like, to see that that outlet is out here selling protein shakes and using AI for articles, yo, that's sad. Like, that's real sad. And I just, yeah, I can't co-sign that dream enough. Like, the landscape's got to change. It can't be this.
Yeah, it can't be. Yeah, talk about Sports Illustrated. That hurts my heart. Because I grew up wanting to be a Sports Illustrated writer. I did.
And it's wild, too, because in a matter of, like, what, less than 2 years, that sounds like a wild thing for somebody to even say now, given how far they fell off. Like, it's sad, but this is, like, the reality of it.
I mean, yeah, essentially, like, I would say within the last probably 5 or so years, it's been absolutely wild to see that their fall from grace. But yeah, I just want media funding across the board. That's, like, it's so important. And I can go into a whole nother conversation of why media funding across the board is important for local news, but staying specific, staying in the confines of this podcast, wanting.
We ain't got no confines.
Well, the topical confines of the podcast about Black women in the global game. I want more media coverage, and with that comes the bag. And so, where the money reside, which right now is the NWSL, that also needs to hit on media too.
Facts. I think we're done. Do we have any more that you want to throw in? Any other, like, what you want to see for 2024? Do you have anything else that you didn't get to? I know we're kind of limited to these three. It doesn't have to be, you know. We'll be back in 2024 so we can save it for future episodes. But hey, if you got anything that you want to leave the people with, a hope, a dream, a wish, a want, a desire?
No, I'm just excited for the first Women's Gold Cup, February, March.
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
Coming up quick and fast. I'm really excited for that. I'm also excited to finally get some free agent signings. I feel like everyone's waiting for the new year, which, like, I understand, right? It's holiday season. You want people to be with their families. That's perfectly fine. But that means 12:01 on January 1st. Okay, that's a lie. At 12:01 on January 2nd, because I don't want to work New Year's Day, and I don't want anyone else to work New Year's Day.
I didn't want a second. Yeah, you were cooking. I was like, I'm here for it. New Year, 12:01 January 1st. I'm here for it. I'm sorry if you got to work, but that's what I want.
The next day, because it's an official holiday, and look, work-life balance is important, especially when you work in sports. But at 12:01 on January 2nd?
January 1st.
You also don't want to work on January. It's clear to me you've never had to work on January 1st, where I have. Old firm. Making me wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning. It's not fun, but 12:01 on January 2nd? Or that, or make it a whole week. NWSL, so make the first week of the year.
Whoa. You just said you wanted free agency signings, and now you're going to make us wait even longer?
No. Like make a week out of it. Like
every free agent has to be signed in 1 week?
No, but like Gotham gets a big announcement. Spirit get a big announcement. Like, you know, like how, like making like a big event out of it. Like having like lots of hoopla and stuff.
Okay, so now you're saying
over the course of a week. Like I'm saying, like make the first week of the year like blockbuster NWSL signing week. I'm not saying have the signings wait a week, but I'm make it a thing.
Okay, so like one big signing every day.
Yeah,
for a week, or like is what you want.
Yeah, like make it like bombastic, and like that like NWSL signing week or something. Okay, you know what? Honestly, if the league is smart. This is a free idea for you. Get the big free agents every single day leading up to then the college draft. And then you're like, yeah. Boom, college draft done, 2 weeks, preseason starting. We're in the countdown to the start of the NWSL. Big marketing dollar right here in my brain. NWSL just gave you a free idea.
I like your idea, but I'm just like, do I want all the... Plus, you know how chaotic this league is anyway. Like, we going to get, like, 5 announcements all, like, in a 12-hour span. Because he doesn't know how to do anything but the most chaotic option ever.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah, I don't know. But I'm just saying, I think some, like, fun things could happen in that way. Of, like, you make a whole week out of it. Maybe do, like, you know how before the Women's World Cup, like, the Women's World Cup trophy, like, takes a tour around the world? Have like the NWSL trophy take a tour around the United States.
Or if you live in America, a statue of Alex Morgan does a tour around.
No, sorry. Why? Why did you do this?
I was really about to say, how many times was the statue offside?
We need to end this podcast before we get in trouble.
They're going to come for me. Hey, they came for me before. It's fine. It's whatever. I know Alex Morgan got her stands. And I'm not even mad at her as a player. I'm just like, we got better options right now. I'm sorry. All right.
Much to look forward to in 2024, though.
That's my co-host trying to save me.
I'm wrapping it up.
Thanks. All right. We are done. See y'all in 2024. We'll be back with episodes. We're going to recap whatever happens. We've got, WSL, Frauen Bundesliga, Liga FA, everything starting back up sometime in January. Champions League coming back as well. NWSL, free agent signings will definitely be happening. Somebody's going to play. We got a few people got some decisions to make. So we're going to figure out what those are, talk about them. It's going to be wild. I got a good and bad feeling about free agency in terms of like what's going to happen, but I'm just going to leave it at that. So.
Okay, spooky. Climactic.
Facts. All right, the floor is yours.
Bye. Thanks for listening to Diaspora United Podcast. Please subscribe and rate and review us anywhere you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Diaspora United Pod. That's Diaspora UTDPOD. And message us if there's anything you want us to talk about in our next podcast. See you next time.